This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bloomberg reporting on Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, now in active conflict zone. Zelensky reinforces nuclear warning after disruption, dated within these hours. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Henry and I have been approaching this story from many points of view for weeks now, but here it is, and it's important to say it's not only now a debating point in think tanks and in newsrooms, but also rises to the level of state policy. A letter written by distinguished panel, including Henry's signature, to the President of the United States in these last hours. Dear Mr. President, as a bipartisan group of experts on nuclear nonproliferation, many of whom have served in both Democratic and Republican administrations, we urge you to prioritize responding to Russia's illegal seizure and mistreatment of Ukraine's Zaporizhia nuclear power plant and its staff. The most immediate priority should be ensuring the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, can visit the plant to ensure its operations are safe and secure. Henry, I welcome you to comment on the letter with your signature, and then we will explore what we believe is the case now at Zaporizhia and what the risks are going forward. Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening again. Thank you for having me on again. I signed that letter first because I guess it was an honor to be asked to sign, which in and of itself is frequently why signatures go on letters. But I thought there was something substantively very important in the letter, which I don't know if it'll get the proper attention, but, well, we can put some spotlight on it now. It made very clear that whatever was done to get an inspection by the IAEA should respect the sovereignty of Ukraine, which is code for making sure that the Russians don't use the inspection as further evidence that the plant is theirs and owned by Russia. And the way they were trying to do that is forcing the inspectors to travel through Russian-held territory and use Russian passports. He, Putin, was pressured to give up on that, and he did. The letter is very clear that that's the right way to go. And certainly that was a point that Viktor Galinsky and I made repeatedly many weeks ago, and so I thought it was important to sign. That said, I think how much can be accomplished by an IAEA visit isn't probably as great as people hope.
The visit, we're told, will come from the Ukrainian side, which itself is a mystery, given that this is a conflict zone along a river valley, and shelling is going on routinely from both sides. And the visit also needs to answer some questions. For example, Henry, I go to a report that is updating what we had from President Zelensky. And the reason this is important is because there's ambiguity in the language. Bloomberg reporting. One of the power units of the Zaporizhia nuclear plant has been reconnected to Ukraine's energy grid. Equipment and safety systems are functioning with no concerns, and the unit is gaining power, with the plant producing electricity for the country's needs. This, according to the state-owned operator of the complex, Energoatom. President Zelensky has been calling for Russian troops in the area to withdraw. There are Russian troops stationed or near to all of the vital facilities of the plant. As of now, as of these last days, as of these last weeks. Henry, what does it mean, reconnected to the energy grid? Why is that important? What does the energy grid mean about safety at the plant?
What it means is the water that must circulate around hot nuclear fuel rods, whether they're in the reactor boiling water or out of the reactor in ponds cooling off for gas storage, has to circulate. And the way you make it circulate is with an electric pump. That pump needs electricity. And And it is supplied not by the reactor, more often than not, but by outside electricity that is brought in on electrical power lines. There were four such system lines going into this plant. There now is only one, and for a while there was none. You want to make sure that you have an external source of electricity for the safety margin, making sure that those water pumps are keeping everything cool and calm.
I'm pulling apart these sentences. Equipment and safety systems are functioning with no concerns. Well, there is the concern of an active war zone, but I set that aside. Does that mean that we have the guarantee of the staff at the plant of the Russians? Do we know who says no safety concerns? Clearly, there is shelling going on. Clearly, something cut off that one line coming in. Clearly, the generators that kicked in for backup have to be inspected and refueled, I believe. So, no concerns, Henry? Is that your opinion?
Sounds like hyperbole to me, or aspirational desire. Of course, there has to be concern because, you know, three of the lines were not out. The one that is now connected, it was not connected for a short while. And then if that one remaining line is hit, as the other three have, then you're on to your diesel generators, but they only probably maximum have fuel for 7 days, maximum, and who knows how much diesel fuel they have there. Once that's exhausted, if the plant is running and not on cold shutdown, you could have another Three Mile Island or Fukushima.
Is there planning now or in the past for events that I've just touched upon? Does anyone have a protocol to put into place in the event of a catastrophe?
The planning is derivative. It is planning for accidents, planning for natural events, bad weather. It is not for military assaults. To the extent there was any thought given to this, it can be found in the Protocol 1 of the Geneva Convention, which was written up in 1977, which said, you know, it'd be nice if everyone didn't go after nuclear generating plants. And that was the long and short of it. So I guess the short answer is no, there has not been serious planning for these military contingencies.
We're told in other reporting that there are reasons to be confident that the containment vessels would survive a shelling or a missile. There are reasons to be confident that the energy can be maintained. Do you have that confidence, Henry? I'm not asking for a blanket description, just because you've worked with this for years. If you have the confidence, others can also take heart from that. But if you don't, where do we go for confidence?
If someone wants to penetrate a meter of concrete that's reinforced, there are ways to do it. Certainly, and I've described them, they are not exotic things that are hard to put together. A tandem charged armed missile can do it. Under certain circumstances, it's conceivable, you know, you could get a plane, a very large plane, if it had the fuel in the right places in the plane and hit at the right angle, to penetrate. I don't know that the containment building is the only thing that you have to worry about. We've learned that the power lines have to be worried about. We're learning that the diesel generators and having enough fuel is something to worry about. The transformer on the site that takes the electricity and then brings it down to a proper level is a weak point. The control room, the steam pipes that come out of the plant, all of these things are much softer targets than what people are, you know, obsessed about with regard to the containment building. So there are a lot of ways that you can do a lot of harm and possibly get a large dispersal of radiation.
I mention in anecdote that in conversation with a correspondent in Bucharest, Romania, in these last hours, I learned that Romania has been generous to distribute iodine pills not only to its own population, but also to neighboring Moldova in the event of a catastrophe. And I called upon memories of Chernobyl many decades ago. My correspondent was a child, but reminded me that the Ceausescus had been absolute dictators at the time, and very little information was flowing out of Chernobyl. The luck for Romania was that the wind expected to blow south did not, and blew to the northwest, causing problems and radiation challenges for a large population. I mentioned Chernobyl because it's in the conversation now in the Black Sea Basin. I don't believe they're being alarmist. Do you, Henry?
Well, if anything, it's just prudential. I mean, iodine pills, my God, why not? I think the significance of Romania being concerned, though, is bigger than radiation per se or iodine prophylactics. It's that the British, have spoken through the chairman of the Select Committee in the House of Commons that if radiation should go into NATO territory, it could trigger Article 5 and require a military response. Now, I don't take that to mean that this is imminent or likely so much as we're playing now with these reactors at Zaporizhia as tools of deterrence on both sides. And this is brand new. And no, we haven't thought at all about this.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. We've established the threat and the unknowns. When we come back, what is to be done now and in future? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.